The Crude Life.
All right, let's head over to the Zoom line where we have Levi Perkins with Perkins Electric Innovations, Kenley Nebaker with Train ND Northwest, also the chairman of the new UAS Commission. What's the regional name of that commission, Kenley?
The North Dakota UAS Council.
Okay, and folks, trust me, part 6 or 7 or 8 will probably get into that part of this whole electric vehicle hybrid, this innovation, this evolution, ecolution that's happening, because a lot of this stuff really does tie in together. Kenley Nebaker, Train ND Northwest, explain very quickly the commerce connection and how this is possible. We'll start with that before we get into some of the towing with EV vehicles. People are excited for this because we're going to talk about towing with EV vehicles. Man, I see all kinds of memes on the internet about that. So, Kenley, just give us a little context about this project quick.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Jason. Really, the project is meant to show ultimately how we can take a Class 8 truck and take the best of both worlds, oil and gas, combustion engine, and mix it with the advantages of the electric motors, and be able to show that we can take the best of both of those worlds and produce something that is ultimately better than if you had either one by themselves. So we're really excited about where that goes and what that's going to look like. And Levi's doing a great job with that. So I'll just let him kind of talk about what he's got going.
You bet. Levi Perkins with Perkins Electric Innovations, one of the individuals working on this project. And you can go to thecrudelife.com and check out past interviews. Of course, if you go to the show page that we're talking about right now, the podcast page, we'll have the links there as well as we continue to follow this story. But Levi, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, efficiency rating when it comes to towing, especially with Class A vehicles in this world of EV batteries and this whole, you know, revolution type thing. And the towing becomes one of those debatable issues, much like temperature. And just give us a little bit of where you're at when it comes to the efficiency rating with Class A vehicles when we're talking about, you know, a hybrid or an EV vehicle versus, say, a traditional Class A.
That's great. Thanks, Jason. So I think in the Class A world, when they're, as far as towing, one thing that we've seen the transition from in the last probably 40 years with heavy-duty trucks is aerodynamic. So we went from a really conventional looking semi truck in the 70s and 80s, very squared components and a lot of rough edges. And then eventually we transition into these newer trucks that have fairing, and they've got even wheel fairings and skirting on the truck. And then the trailers that have skirting underneath of the van trailers. And then also just fairing on the top of the trucks and fascia up at the front of the trucks, anything to divert wind. So aerodynamics is a really big part of it when we're towing, so we don't have a lot of efficiency losses when we're going against a headwind or if we're moving at 70 miles an hour versus 50 miles an hour. So that's one factor, is aerodynamics, that I think it'd be interesting to talk about. And then another one would be low rolling resistance tires. So that makes a really big difference. And if you notice, a lot of the EV vehicles have specific EV tires that they want you to run on them. And it's due to rolling resistance. I think it'd be really interesting. Even I read an article about an individual that bought an F-150, electric F-150, and then outfitted it with larger tires. And what it did to his range, it was pretty phenomenal what it did to it. It was quite a negative consequence, but so it sucks it down. I mean, even with gasoline powered vehicles or diesel powered, if you put larger, usually wider tires, heavier rolling resistance, your efficiency goes down. So that's one thing, low rolling resistance tires. And then one other piece that I'd talk about is just towing capacity and what that does to overall range. And I want to talk about some of the negative aspects of it and then how a person had overcome that, because electric drivetrain, it's an awesome drivetrain. It's just there's a lot of range anxiety when it comes to towing. So,
well, one thing I was going to ask you, so like you mentioned the F-150. So a quick Google search here, or a something search. I don't have the license to say Google. Is 2022, according to Carfax.com, Ford F-150, the towing capacity, 12,700 pounds, and it's actually rated second behind the Ram 1500 diesel at, apparently that was 1256. So the Ford F-150 hybrid is the number one, according to Carfax. Now, when I click over to efficiency ratings and towing class A EV vehicles, I just, same Google search, except I added the EV word in there. The only thing it says is that electric trucks are good at towing because they put up considerable power and torque numbers. Let's start there. The considerable power and torque numbers in EV vehicles, that seems to be one of the solutions or positives, or is that one of the issues, Levi?
No, I think that's a positive. It's really consistent power. Most electric motors that we're using, they can build what we'd call peak torque at a really low, if not zero RPM. So different from a reciprocating piston where your peak torque could be at a specific RPM, usually later in the RPM range. So that, I think it's awesome. They're designed to pull. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of our industrial applications or vocational applications like pumps or generators, some of these, we've got the prime mover as an electric motor. You know, when we have a big water pump out somewhere, it's an electric, an AC motor. So they're really dynamic in that regard. It's just the biggest factor that we'd be working against with towing, Jason and Kinley, is that if we have a greater amount of weight that we're towing or resistance, whether it be a vertical incline or, bad roads, or if we've got a low tire, or just things that would affect how much power we're using, we increase the amount of amperage that would be used by the motor, and that would consume the battery quicker.
How much of this is going to be reliant on sensors, automation, and that whole thing? You mentioned tire pressure, for example. It seems like the details really matter when it comes to some of this towing efficiency, huh? Well, that's with anything, by the way.
I think it does. There's quite a bit of sensors that we could have involved with that, like tire pressure monitoring sensors would be nice. And then just amount of amperage used would probably be our biggest sensory input that we'd look at. And all of that could be taken care of with just a good controller. But I think the biggest problem right now, individuals are worried when they get in an electric vehicle. Most electric vehicles are designed, you get in it and it knows that, like a small electric car, you can only have so many passengers. For the most part, the trunk space or cargo space is limited. So then we can only put so much weight in them. So they stay right within the range. But the real truth is, if a person's own electric vehicle, heck, we need Kinley to chime in. He's owned one or two. If you change your route and you've got a lot of vertical inclines, like you've got mountainous territory, or you're going against a headwind, all of a sudden your range went from 300 miles to 150. I mean, it changes dramatically. So the biggest problem I've seen with a lot of these EV manufacturers, they're small. Like, even I love some of these really popular smaller electric, like the half ton pickups. Most of those have a 100 to 130, maybe at the most 150 kilowatt hour battery pack. It's large for an EV vehicle, but really small for something that they've rated to tow with. So then a lot of times their towing capacity is low. It's 7,000 pounds or less. And sometimes they'll rate them up to 11,000 pounds, but just know if you did that and you pulled in any kind of terrain that was not a flat road, you would probably cut your range in half, if not more. And I've read some really funny articles lately. I've never, I haven't experienced it personally, but of guys towing with these half-ton electric trucks and just having some nightmare issues. So it's kind of funny. They love the power. Things are good. But they couldn't make it from one charging station to another. So I thought, well, that's the problem. It's just they don't have a big enough battery pack on them, and they don't. They definitely aren't hybrids. So,
Kenley, you used to have an electric vehicle?
Oh, I've dabbled in the hybrid and electric vehicle piece a bit myself. Yeah, and what Levi's talking about really is that range anxiety, and I experienced that firsthand. Absolutely, is that question of am I going to be able to get where I need to get, right? That range anxiety is a real thing. With internal combustion engines, with gas motors, you know that you've got until you get to empty, and then you have to fill it up, right? And you know that's going to be a pretty consistent draw for the most part. With electric vehicles, you as a consumer, you're always concerned about, will I get to the place that I need to get to, and will I be able to charge up in that place? And I think that, once again, that speaks to this marriage that we're talking about on an even bigger scale of something that's going to be pulling, you know, up to 80,000 pounds is, on a large scale, think about the range anxiety that would exist there if you were fully electric. And so it just really speaks to the importance of taking the best of both worlds and marrying them together, which is what this project does.
You know, whether Levi, who's in Idaho, or Kenley, who's in Williston, or myself, who currently today I'm in Fargo, North Dakota, we've had temperature swings, you know,
yes.
20, 30, 40 degrees where I could see, like in Fargo, we had probably about a 15 to 20 degree drop within an hour. Last week.
Yeah.
And yeah. If I had an EV only vehicle, that would almost keep me stuck somewhere, wouldn't it? That with that anxiety, because you don't know how many miles you get.
So I got a really good story for you, Jason. I think it just illustrated this point, because I want to talk about the reality of these vehicles, and especially if you have a load on and it was a Class A truck. So I was mentioning this to Kenley the other day. I had read, and hopefully I get this information correct, an individual that was living in, I don't know, on the East Coast somewhere. You know, we've had pretty low temperatures across the country here around Christmas right now, or around this time of year. And so he gets in his Tesla. He has 40-mile range. He wants to go and see his son for Christmas. This just happened a couple of days ago. He thinks that it'll be a great, a good event. He thought, I'll just shoot down to a mega charger really quick, and we'll taken, you know, less than an hour, and we'll get charged up, and then I'm going to go, you know, less than 200 miles away to see his son. So he gets in his car, but because it's been in the garage, it's warm enough that it'll allow him to drive, which is typically above 32 degrees. He gets to the charging station, and at that point, the battery has discharged some, but it's cool enough. It will not allow him to charge, so he sets there, goes to charge, it will not allow him to charge the battery, because whether you're feeding energy into the battery by charging or you're discharging it, you're doing the same thing with the battery, essentially, especially with like the lithium iron phosphate batteries. So a lot of times the threshold is in the 20 to 30 degree range. Some of them are a little bit lower, but the batteries have to be heated at that point to charge. Well, for whatever reason, the charger wouldn't output enough to heat his batteries so that they would charge. So then he kind of gets worried after an hour because it's discharged his battery even more. Now he only has a 20-mile range. So then he gets back in his car, drives back to his garage. Well, he doesn't have a mega charger in his garage. You know, it's like a class 2 or the 240-volt output. He plugs in. It's not warm enough in there. His garage isn't heated. It won't charge the battery, because it's still below 30 degrees, or typically it's 20 degrees on those. But so he just sits there and he goes, it ruined my Christmas. I thought I couldn't get an Uber driver. I couldn't get a cab. It was Christmas Day. I wasn't able to see my son. And I'm not laughing about that. But what I am laughing about is just factors that people don't typically think about when driving an EV vehicle. And I thought, number one, the batteries need to have a better heating system. And we're designing that in this Class 8 hybrid that would utilize our small combustion engine to heat them, especially for North Dakota. And then the other thing is you got to have other provisions. You know, they have an electric heating pack that works on those, but it consumes energy. If your battery's dead, it just, you can't heat it enough. And typically your charger will do it, but sometimes it won't even do that. So it's kind of, I mean, there's got to be some pieces. I don't think they're for all climates, all areas. I just, not the ones we have right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons I think this, you know, evolution hybrid, capital E, capital V, evolution hybrid is such an important thing for the country. I really believe this. I think it's going to solve a lot of logistical problems. I think it's going to solve a lot of the climate change anxiety that exists out in the world. I think it's going to advance businesses in a way that has not before. And what I mean by that is this is really kind of the real free market. When you take a look at California, California's hybrid market was doing really well when the government was trying to force an EV market. And then after 10 years in the 90s, for some reason, they took away the hybrid market and tried to double down on the EV market when the hybrid market was doing really well. So when I hear Kenley's talking about his firsthand EV anxiety, I've heard the same stories from a handful of people who have had Teslas and the Audi EV. I've heard it from someone in Colorado who has the truck with the EV. They got caught up with some of this towing you're talking about. They got stuck in the middle of nowhere because of the incline and the weight. They didn't carry the one, apparently, and they got stuck. Yeah. So, and that's that anxiety coming to real life. So what I look at this is being really the intelligent way is what Kenley talked about earlier, which is this is all energy has a purpose here. We're going to try to figure out a way to make the one work with the other and not polarize, because the polarizing has not worked since the 90s in California when they tried to do it. So I like this hybrid approach. And when I talk to people who own hybrids, I have never heard a bad thing. Now, the only thing I hear is that they're too quiet. And how is that a bad? That's an opinion. That's all I ever hear on that. But and whichever one of you two want to handle that question, comment, that whole deal, because I think that's really important to talk about. I think that's an important point to make, that the EVs still have a variety of issues that we do not have solutions for yet, whereas the hybrid, that seems to be humming along just fine.
I'll leave that to Levi.
Oh, no, one thing that I'd say, Jason, I think you hit the nail on the head, absolutely. I just, do you know that and hopefully I'm entitled just to be able to mention this, in 2007 or 2008, GM, they had several cars and SUVs, which is really kind of interesting. People, I don't know if people remember this or not, but you could Google it. I guess you could go on a search engine and look at this, or even like Marketplace and look at different just different vehicles there. In 2007 or 8, GM had a hybrid Tahoe, or like a Denali, Yukon Denali. It was an awesome, it was actually a really neat deal that had, I think if I remember, had a 600 volt battery pack that sat in the very back. And interestingly enough, it was right under the third row seating. So it was, but it was safe. You know, there was an enclosure. And it had a regular LS engine, but instead of having a transmission, it had this thing that looked like a transmission, but inside of it was a generator on one end that would have typically been all your gears. That instead of it being hooked to a torque converter, it's just hooked up to the back of a flex plate of sorts. And then on the back side of the generator, inside of this housing that looks like an automatic transmission, was a motor. So it's just a generator and a motor. That was the whole drivetrain. And I think that there was a two-speed planetary gear reduction set that was in there, if I remember. I don't know a lot about it. Hopefully I'm not desecrating some guys that are GM diehards, but I know that that's out there. And it was an awesome, I thought it was great. A lot of times I'll see them used right now for sale because individuals don't want to replace a battery pack. Had a really small battery pack because the motor essentially was the prime mover, and it was just relying on the battery pack for like town driving. It had a better efficiency in town than it did on the freeway, but it had really good power. It did everything else that our other counterpart with just a regular transmission had done. People just forgot about it. They didn't want to mess with the batteries or the controller or anything like that. And I don't know if any of the motors or generator part of that drivetrain ever went. I mean, typically it would never go bad. I'm like, it was a great unit. It wasn't widely accepted. People didn't, they just didn't want it. It was change. And so absolutely, I don't know if that really illustrates the point or not, Jason, but you're right. That I think that that's the ticket. There's no range anxiety with that. As long as you had fuel in the tank, it was efficient and did what it needed to. So absolutely.
How about when it comes to the Hummer, the F-150 Lightning, and there's a new one, I think, with an R, Rivian, was the name I kept seeing. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Right. But those are supposed to be the next generation of towing that are supposed to, the word I always read was the albatross around the EV vehicles is towing, is always the headline. I've seen that multiple times. So how is the, like the new Hummer, for example, or the Rivian or the F-150 Lightning, are they making the advancements that they say they are?
I think that they are. They've got most of those have got somewhere between 100 to 150 kilowatt hour, actually pretty large. It's a big battery pack. The Rivian, it has 4 electric motors. It has a towing capacity, I think 11,000 pounds. So it's very similar to a half-ton pickup, but it has a lot of power. I actually watched, this sounds really redneck, but I watched a tractor pull. I was not there in person, but I watched a tractor pull the other day on the internet. It was an F-150 Lightning and a Rivian that was in with the weighted sled. And I was really impressed. The Rivian, that thing, they're four-wheel drive, obviously. They have a motor at each wheel, and they've got really good weight displacement. So it back-to-back pulled the sled way farther than an F-150. It has a lot higher torque and horsepower than an F-150 Lightning, but it's a really tough truck. Absolutely, that'd be an awesome drivetrain. I think that's a great pickup. The electric Hummer, I don't know, it might be more of a novelty. That's a nice truck, too. The Rivian's definitely got it, and it could tow, and I think you'd still experience some range anxiety. I think that one other story I could tell is just an individual that had an F-150 that towed F-150 electric, had a car trailer behind it. Car trailer weighed 3,000 pounds, and then they put another smaller car on it. And by the time they got done, they had less than 7,000 pounds. And what it did to their range on the F-150 electric is it went from over 300 miles, no optimum driving conditions, to pulling this trailer in a little bit of hilly conditions, it all of a sudden dropped to less than 100 miles. And he said it had great power. It just was scary. It just wouldn't make it to the next charging port. So I don't know. I like them. I think they're good. I don't know if I'd tow with one at this point, unless they had a lot larger battery pack, probably double the size.
Taking a look at the Zoom clock, we got just about 8 minutes left here. So I did want to ask about the transition into the final project, which is a get on the great big convoy, old school, semi that's going to be an EV gas hybrid. How close are we to, getting to this next level when it comes to the towing part? And also, maybe, I don't know, next time or sometime I do want to discuss the terawatt of storage and, that these technologies that we've been hearing about for 10, 15 years that still have not come to fruition. Are we going to continue to try to get to that terawatt of storage on a regular, or are we just going to scrap it and go to something new? But that's in the solar industry is where I always hear about the terawatt of storage being the next gen. So when it comes to, these EV vehicles, the Hummers and the Rivian and the F-150s Lightning, is that something that can translate into, the semi, the big old convoy type of a EV hybrid? Can that technology translate in there?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I I do. It's utilizing the same type of motors in the big, you know, in a Class 8 trucks. We're going to utilize same type of battery packs, controllers, and interfacing tools would be specific for this project. But yes, I do. As far as storage goes, if these smaller trucks are in the 100 to 150 kilowatt hour range, we're looking at probably a 600 kilowatt hour range on this because it's a hybrid. So like the Class 8 Tesla semi truck right now, it started at, so those, they had a lot of testing that was 300 to 500 kilowatt hours, which is big. I mean, we're talking 3 to 5 times larger than the half ton pickup. And then eventually they went to a larger, like an 800 kilowatt. And then now I'm hearing we don't have any real specs on it, but they're claiming that it's got a 500 mile range pulling 80,000 pounds. And it's really aerodynamic. They have a lot of good technology they're using in that regard, but they're also doing a lot of testing and some very like mountainous terrain, but a lot of flat terrain. But they're saying that they probably have a battery pack in the 1 megawatt hour range, meaning that it's 1,000 kilowatt hours. So it's almost 10 times what a pickup would be, and especially the smaller cars. So it's a lot of storage and there's a lot of weight involved there. And I don't know I think it's a good factor. You're going to still have range anxiety with that. I don't see their truck fitting in a lot of applications. I just see it fitting in a specific amount that they would have over the road. Mm-hmm. But that's good. There's a lot of trucks out there. I mean, we've got huge trucking industry and transportation industry that revolves around trucking. So it's good.
I like what they do. I just think once that terawatt of storage that battery gets figured out within 5 years, it'll be, you know, into the trucking and transportation industry because of the, you know, just the Moore's theory of everything gets twice as fast and twice as small every 18 months. And that's my belief. I don't know if there's any truth behind that, but just being, you know, a layman's view of how the world works. What I believe will be the next springboard to where, you know, getting the price down on a lot of these vehicles and that sort of thing. So,
yes.
Just a very quick year in review, like a 3 minute or less year in review on anything that we should note for the end of the year, I guess.
One thing I'd mention, Jason, right now is, so our project that we're doing that, the evolution, the hybrid semi-truck. Just to review, this one will be a Class 8 truck, but we're actually doing it on like a classic chassis. The chassis is actually new. The chassis will be really nice and all newer components like air disc brakes. But it has a classic, hopefully it'll be Kenworth, but we're going to use a classic Kenworth body. They are not aerodynamic. They're like pushing a brick down the road. And everyone, so we've got a lot of pushback. I'm just saying, this is why would you do something like that? Well, I want to do it because it'd prove a point that it's still going to be really, really good, even with like the worst condition. So we're going to probably use some low rolling resistance 22.5 tires on it and some other pieces that would help it. But for the most part, I just want to show that even on the worst body style for aerodynamics, it would still really perform well. And I think they look cool. I like the classic trucks. So that's our reasoning. We'll probably have some different body styles in our lineup eventually. And I've talked with Kenley more about that. But for this project, it'll be a classic truck, probably poor aerodynamics and some pieces and elements to it that would not be desirable for an electric vehicle. But we're doing it to prove a point. So that's kind of the part we're doing. I don't know. I'm excited about how it'll look. And well, we're wanting to make it look like in a conventional truck and not have a lot of EV design elements to it. It'll just from the outside kind of look, and then you'll think, oh, that's a nice classic truck and kind of a show truck. But it'll be, you know, electric drivetrain and kind of a little hybrid engine running our generator. And I think it'll be a neat way to prove a point and have a good working concept there.
Just keep track of it because there's a significant savings on the educational aspect of it. And then when you do the second one that has more of the aerodynamics, you can compare and contrast. So, I mean, I think it's the right way to go because if you started out with something that was a little bit more aerodynamic, you'd have to spend more to educate the public on what it is. This just, yeah. But by first look, you know exactly what it is. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and it's electric, hybrid? Well, now I'm intrigued. So the aerodynamics is the later educational piece. And no, you're doing the right thing by making sure people are familiar with it, are comfortable with it. And again, it's a evolution into the evolution, and symbolism is a huge part of it. So, Kenley, anything in conclusion as I look to see we got about a minute or two left?
Yeah, no, Levi hit it real well. We're excited about this project. We're really looking forward to getting it out on the road and being able to use it to, just as you said, Jason, to educate. One of the main purposes that Train ND Northwest will use this truck for is to go out to high schools, to go out to trade shows, to go out to job fairs, go out where to heck to car shows, and really just kind of show what can be done and hopefully generate interest in the trucking industry. We are in desperate need of truckers in this nation, and I hope with this project is that we can kind of appeal to a new group of people to allow them to come into the trucking industry, gain interest, and hopefully this hybrid helps them develop that interest. So we're really excited about what the possibilities are with this truck when it's done.